talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
It's the most wonderful time of the mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song is an oldie but a goodie. It's the most wonderful time of the year. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is coming up January 24th through the 26th. The Charleston Home and Design Show is a custom home show, which we here at Charleston Home and Design Magazine organize. And we've got just a smattering of booth spaces left, and we get a lot of home pros that listen to this show. So if you are interested in kickstarting your sales for 2025, we're expecting thousands of people to be attending the Charleston Home and Design Show January 24th through the 26th at the North Charleston Convention Center Ballroom. So give Charleston Home and Design Magazine a call if you're interested in participating. We've got a couple of local businesses that are not home related on hold. They're on the back burner because we always hold spaces for home related companies rather than just, you know, you don't go to a home show to necessarily talk to somebody who isn't a home service provider. But give Charleston Home and Design Magazine a call if you're interested in perhaps displaying January 24th through the 26th. Today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with Caroline Kreese with IBP Charleston, and we're going to be talking to her about how you can insulate your home with spray foam insulation and make it nice and cozy for the winter and nice and cool in the summer months. Also, interior designer Megan Sandifer with CHD Interiors, and this is a really good interview. I hope you all will tune into that. And then finally, Dave Rogers with Windsor One, which is a company that sells trim materials, interior trim materials that all of the interior trim carpenters, that's the type of material that they want to work with. Well, have a great weekend, everyone. And talking to us now is Caroline Kreese with IBP Charleston. How are you, Caroline?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you doing today?
Good. Caroline, tell our listeners all about IBP Charleston.
All about IBP Charleston. We are a local insulation company. We are national. We've been in business since 1977. We can provide spray foam, open cell, closed cell, fiberglass, blown fiberglass, rolled fiberglass. We also do mild microbial remediation. And we also offer a product called Fortisell mold protection. And we also offer rock wool. Forgot about that too.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, let's break it down for our listeners, make it a little easier for them. So, what is spray foam insulation?
Spray foam insulation is the best insulation you can install in your house. It stops air infiltration. It's just the most energy efficient way that you can insulate your house. We've been insulating with fiberglass for years just because that's all there was. But foam is really great, especially in this climate, you know, where it's warm and it's coastal, or when it's cold too.
So we probably have a lot of listeners that are thinking, I've been living in my home for a while. I don't like having to, I feel like I'm paying more for my energy bills than I need to, but, my house already has insulation. So what can IBP Charleston offer me? We're not going to tear out my walls and put new insulation in or anything like that.
No. So what we can do for an existing home is we can put spray foam underneath the attic. You go from what's called a vented attic to, with spray foam, it would be called an unvented attic. And that just means that you're no long, your attic is no longer 140 degrees in the summer or frigid cold in the winter. Your attic, when it is sealed and unvented, means that it's going to stay within 20 degrees of your thermostat. So my personal house, my attic is about 90 degrees in the summer and about 50 degrees in the winter. And that just allows your house and your house to perform better, your air conditioner to perform better. It's you know, you can equate it with being up north, putting a hat on and going outside and it's cold. You're putting a hat on your house.
Yeah. I like that description. And, So, but what about the walls? I mean, that there's so much square footage in a house, that encompasses the walls.
The walls, a lot of walls have windows. So, you know, there may be more window, well, maybe not more windows than walls, but, your energy draws up and down. It's called the stack effect. When you open the front door, all the energy goes out, all your air goes out through the roof. And then your air conditioner heater has to work really hard to cool your house off or heat your house up. I'm losing my train of thought here.
Okay. All right.
So the walls are not as critical as the roof and the floor, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. So the walls, sometimes they're only 6-inch thick, or even less than that sometimes. So that's probably already got, insulation, like rolled insulation in the walls. But even if you did spray foam insulation in the walls, that's not going to have as great a impact on your power bill as if you put the spray foam insulation in the attic.
That is correct. The bigger bang for your buck with spray foam is the roof deck, putting the foam underneath the roof deck inside your attic space.
All right. What about underneath your home?
Underneath your home is also a great place to insulate because cold air is heavy and it falls through your floor. And as we know, heat rises. Spray foam underneath your floor system will also preserve your hardwood floors. A lot of times in the summer, they cup, the edges come up, and in the winter, they separate, and you can stop your floor from being a living, breathing thing in your house. And your electric bill drops about 25 to 30% by insulating your floor and about 40% by insulating your attic.
So I remember in our old house we had the floors felt cold and drafty in the winter time, and that house was built on a crawl space, about 3 foot high crawl space, and so even if you have fiberglass insulation underneath your house, you can still feel the coldness coming up from the earth beneath that fiberglass insulation.
Yeah, the fiberglass, like I said, is what we've been insulating homes with just since the beginning, since we started. But it also falls down. You put insulation in a subfloor, and you put tiger teeth up in there, and you know, gravity just pulls the insulation down, moisture pulls it down, critters pull it down, all kinds of things like that. But when you spray foam, it's spray applied directly to the underside of the floor, and it doesn't fall down. I call it a one and done product. You're going to do spray foam one time, and you're never going to think about it again until you get your electric bill and you're grateful that you did it.
So if you were to rate the walls of your home, insulating the walls of your home, insulating underneath your home, and insulating in the attic space, what's going to be most impactful for a homeowner?
Good question. The most impactful place to insulate is the roof, then the floor, then the walls.
Gotcha. So when IBP Charleston is not doing like new construction spray foam insulation, is that typically where IBP Charleston will be doing the spray foam in the attic and then underneath the subfloor?
Correct. So in an existing home, we can do the attic and we can do the subfloor. And in new construction, we can do all three, roof, floor, or walls. But a lot of times in new construction right now, they're still doing fiberglass in the walls. Sometimes it's a budget thing.
Mm-hmm.
Foam is still prominent in the roof and the floor.
Gotcha. And if it is new construction, does IBP Charleston do any of the interior walls? Let's say mainly for like soundproofing?
I usually suggest it. So I'll get people's house plans through my email, and I usually suggest at least to do the bathrooms and also maybe wrap the bedrooms with fiberglass. And a lot of people are using Rockwool right now, which is also another good product as far as, you know, sound between rooms and walls. Common walls are another good area to put insulation, meaning if you've got a bedroom up against a living room or dining room or something like that, I think it's a good idea to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to budget.
Right, gotcha. And so do the IBP Charleston technicians, are they, if you're installing underneath the house, are they getting right down in that crawl space and literally crawling all around to spray that spray foam in?
Yes, they are. They're crawling underneath the whole house.
Wow. My hat is off to them. That's a tough job for sure.
Some of them are not, some of them are low. Some of them are, you know, you can walk under if it's a drive under. They get caught into, and they handle whatever situation, you know, comes their way, mm-hmm. no matter how high or how low it is.
So IBP Charleston, you folks will be able to insulate the attic area and underneath the floor in an existing home, and that's going to make the home more comfortable in the winter and help save energy costs. And then when summer rolls around, what will be the benefit there if they have the spray foam insulation in the attic and also underneath the house?
It's the same. It's kind of the same in that you're going to keep the air that your air conditioner is putting out in your house. So instead of, you know, air conditioning a tent, so to speak, your warm air is staying inside your house instead of going outside, because as science tells us, heat seeks cold. So in the winter, your heat wants to do nothing but leave. And in the summer, the heat wants to come in.
Mm.
That's why you'll find that you get hot and cold spots in your house. It's because it's affected by what's going on outside. And if you can put a lid on it, put socks on it, you know, you can keep that air inside your house instead of just letting it go outside.
Right. There was the conventional wisdom, you know, 20, 30 years ago was the house needs to breathe. And that's probably still true today. What do you do? What happens when the air gets stale? Is there? I know we're getting into kind of like HVAC questions, but are there ways to, or do you have to talk to your HVAC contractor about exchanging the stale air for fresh air?
Well, the crucial thing when you use spray foam is to have the conversation with your HVAC company. I'm considering doing spray foam. I just want you to be aware of it because the size of the unit is important and there are things that they can do to accommodate the spray foam. But they can put what's called a fresh air exchange on there. I don't know the HVAC business, but some people will put a fresh air exchange on their unit or put a dehumidifier in their attic. It all depends on the house. Every house is different. People live differently in their homes. And it's the HVAC and the spray foam insulation, they need to work together.
Mm-hmm. True.
To make it happen for the homeowner.
And do you ever get the question from homeowners like, okay, so I'm willing to do the spray foam insulation, but how long will it be before I kind of break even on the investment mm-hmm. in the spray foam in terms of energy savings?
So the return on investment is roughly 3 to 5 years, which I think is great because a lot of other energy efficient products that you can, or other things that you can do to your home are typically 10 or more years. Replacing your windows is 10 plus years. Solar is 10 plus years, but spray foam is 3 to 5 years, which I think is great. If you have a ranch style house, it may be closer to the 5. If you have a 2-story house, it might be closer to the 3.
And in between all that time, you're able to enjoy your home more because you don't have the hot spots in the summer and cold spots in the winter as well.
Correct. You have a whole lot less. You're not dealing so much with the outside air. And when you've got a vented attic, you've got dust, dirt, pollen, and debris coming inside your attic, coming inside your home whenever you open a door or a window. And I talk about the insulation on your attic floor. It's like an air filter that you never change. You know, I change my air filter every 3 months, but nobody goes in their attic to look and see, oh, is it dirty? Do I need to change it? And spray foam keeps out the dust, dirt, pollen, and debris that you come into your home to get away from.
Right. And
it
we're,
just makes sense.
Yeah, true. And we're almost out of time, but I did want to touch on this. That and this is a nice bonus for everything that we're talking about. When what happens when IBP Charleston installs spray foam insulation in the attic area as it relates to hurricane season?
So spray foam, we have open cell and closed cell spray foams. There's two different kinds. Open cell is similar to your couch cushions or your mattress. It's kind of squishy. And closed cell is a hard, rigid foam. It's a 2-pound foam. And that helps strengthen your roof 300% in the event of a hurricane. So what it's going to do is glue the roof down to the top of your walls. And you can Google hurricanes in 2004 in Florida and see, you know, this house had spray foam and this house didn't. And you can see the difference in how it strengthens your roof. It's amazing.
So the spray foam, the closed cell spray foam insulation that you spray on the in the attic on the roof underlayment. Am I using the right terms there?
Under the roof deck.
Under the roof deck, yeah. Mm-hmm. It acts as basically liquid nails.
Absolutely.
It makes so when we have high winds during perhaps even an unnamed storm.
Or a tornado.
The plywood that's on the roof deck of your house is going to stay. There's a much better chance of it staying in place with mm-hmm. with closed cell spray foam insulation versus not having any insulation applied to the roof deck.
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Well, good deal. Well, I know we have listeners that are going to want to get in touch with IBP Charleston. What does IBP Charleston stand for?
So IBP stands for Installed Building Products.
Okay.
And we're the Charleston branch. And you can find us on the web at IBP, Installed Building Products, IBP Charleston. Or you can call me on my cell at 843-518-3031.
What's your cell phone number again?
843-518-3031.
All right, great. And you can always find IBP Charleston within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Caroline Kreese with IBP Charleston about how to make your home more comfortable with spray foam insulation. Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good day.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and we're now talking with interior designer Megan Sandifer with CHD Interiors. How are you, Megan?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Just fine. Megan, take a moment and tell our listeners all about CHD Interiors.
So CHD Interiors is a family business of ours. I am actually the third generation, and it was started probably 48 years ago by my grandmother, and my dad came in and joined her. And we are a full-service interior design firm, and we pretty much assist clients with everything that you can imagine with new builds, renovations, and we can provide services from the time that a client gets involved with an architect to help them look at interior, you know, the architectural plans and decide based on how they live, what kind of a room they want, how they function as a family, and help them decide what size rooms they need. And we can start as early on in that process and then help them with selections such as flooring, tile, furniture, art, lighting. We provide sourcing for all of that as well. So we really are a one-stop shop for anything from the studs up till the finished photographed project.
Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate that over the years we have gotten to have enough repeat business to where we have our own upholstery workroom, our own drapery workroom. We have an in-house iron worker, and we really work on, you know, anything from a small job where someone just wants to redo their bedding all the way to somebody that wants everything from the, you know, bare bones to the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, you know, I don't know if you've ever built a house, but I had to build my own house about 2 years ago. And, you know, when it's your own, when it's something that you're doing yourself, I feel like it's very hard to be objective. And I even found with building my own house, just having someone I could bounce ideas off. You know, I always went to my dad because it's hard to make decisions for yourself when you know it's something you're going to live with. But when you can have the opinion of someone else, and when they're pretty much driving the bus on here's the next selection you have to make and helping you go through that entire process, it just takes a ton of stress out of what is also already an extremely stressful process. So, you know, we are just full service. We do whatever our clients need. And if they can think of it, we can design it and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people may think, you know, someone who is fortunate enough to choose to have a custom home built for them or to undergo a big renovation project. Those people, most folks don't feel sorry for them, you know, per se, but, when you put yourself into the shoes of the homeowner that is having a custom home built or undergoing a large renovation, it is a very stressful, situation. And I think you're spending $100 bills like they're $1 bills. And,
oh, gosh, yes.
And there's a lot of pressure not to make any mistakes because those mistakes can be costly. It's not like cutting and pasting on your computer or something like that. What do you say to the folks out there who maybe they don't even realize they need an interior designer to help them and they decide to go it alone?
would say that there is a huge misconception about the expense involved in having an interior designer help them along the way, because we have always preferred that clients come to us early on. And even if they don't come early on, we've always preferred that clients let us help them make certain decisions, because even small decisions like door hardware or how furniture should be placed in a room, those make such a big difference in your final product. I mean, the ability, you know, if somebody says, I want to have two sofas, being shorted a matter of a foot or two on architectural plans can completely affect your ability to do that. So, you know, we really do pride ourselves in going through the process with clients and being able to help them with every part and piece, because you really just don't realize until you're picking, you know, down to picking your doorbell or, you know, what knob you want on the front door. I mean, I just remember thinking when I was doing my house, I did this stuff in a very robotic manner for clients because I was so used to doing it for someone else. But when it came down to doing it for myself, I was like, these decisions are so much harder. But, you know, because we're able to source all of those things, you know, our biggest focus is on being able to provide all those parts and pieces to the client and helping them make all those decisions so that one bad decision doesn't mess up the overall finished product that they really want. Mm-hmm. And so I think that clients don't realize when they step into that process how involved it is and how many decisions they have to make. And we are often the liaison with the builder and the plumber and the electrician, and answering questions about how high lights should be hung and where outlets should be placed. I mean, you don't think a lot about that, but I mean, I know when I came in and they had done the electrical in my house, the outlet in my powder room was facing, it was directly on the wall, in the middle of the wall at eye level when you walked in. And I'm thinking, you know, you hope that people don't do things like that, but you know, unless you have somebody that's always checking behind and doing that for you, you know, you don't catch things like that. That sounds tedious, but it does make a difference in the ultimate design of a house. And so we're there to be that person that does the walkthroughs and says, no, don't do this, or we need an extra foot here, and those sorts of things. So it really is so invaluable. I cannot think of a time when we have had a client at the end of the process say, well, I really wish that I hadn't spent my money, you know, working with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a misconception, too, that we only do, you know, very large, bougie projects. You know, I recently helped, you know, two kids that were doing their dorm rooms for college just with their dorm bedding and deciding how they were going to lay things out. And so we really have a business model where we can cater to any price point and any budget. If it's something that you can get at Pottery Barn, we have something that's probably at that same price point, and it's probably going to be a better quality.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do everything across the board. And because we've been in business for so long, we are stocking dealers for a lot of vendors. And so we're going to get the best pricing. And we generally sell our things a little below suggested retail pricing so that we can be competitive. But that's also because we have established a reputation within the design community to where we're going to get, you know, the best pricing that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Guesstimate for me, how many decisions do you think a homeowner is going to be making if they are building a custom home or for that matter, doing a large remodel project?
That is a hard question. like thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I mean, down to like, you know, how do you want your doorbell to sound, and mm-hmm. how thick do you want your baseboards, and how deep do you want this cabinet, and where do you want the placement of these knobs? I mean, the number of questions that we field on a daily basis on one project is astronomical. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for us, we do things a certain way. And so answering those questions is really like second nature. But for somebody that's not used to doing that, you know, they might have to pop onto Google and Google, you know, how far should this light hang, or how much drop do I need on this fan rod? You know, those types of things, you know, somebody's got to be able to answer those questions. And a lot of times builders don't always provide direction on that. You know, they turn and look to the electrician or look to someone else. And I just feel like that if you have somebody that knows the answers to those questions immediately off the top of their head, it just takes a lot of that extra overwhelming work out of the equation.
And there's an expectation from the homeowner that most of these decisions are going to be permanent. And, maybe down the road you'll change your tile and your backsplash or something like that. But nobody has that in mind when they're making those decisions. So they are more or less permanent decisions, even though they could be changed later. But who wants to pay the expense of material and the labor to make those changes? And so there's a lot of pressure to get it right the very first time, so that you don't have to have the subs come back in and patch drywall and just because the light switch was in the wrong spot.
Yes. And I think that people don't realize, people don't realize that the value that you get in getting those questions answered and making those decisions right the first time on the front end will save you money on the back end.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, you know, our goal is not just to, you know, spend a ton of time and sell somebody the most expensive thing. You know, I believe that a lot of our success in our industry has been that we have clients that end up very happy with their jobs and very happy with the finished product, but also because we were able to find things within their budget, and mm-hmm. we were able to make selections that stayed within the realms of what they were comfortable spending. And so at the end of the day, we don't want clients to walk away, you know, like in their house, but feeling like they're going to, you know, not be able to afford to eat out at a restaurant for the next 2 years. You know, if we have happy clients that are happy with the look and happy with what they spent, the bulk of our clients are either referrals or return clients that are redoing something 10 years later, or they've sent their daughter to us, or they've now got a vacation home they want to do. So at the end of the day, we want our clients to be happy, and we want them to be happy with things like the color that they picked their roof. I mean, they're just things you look at a house, you know, as I sit here and look at the house next door to me, and I think, you know, there was that selection on that chimney and the roof color, and those are all things that we decide down to, you know, do you want an accent copper drain that goes down here? I mean, it's overwhelming, the number of decisions that if you're doing something that's very custom that you have to make. And you're so right that they are permanent, and you want to be sure that it's something that you're happy with.
Right. So avoiding the mistakes saves money for the homeowners. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at the CHD Interiors full page ad in the new issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and it's a beautiful living room photo, and everything in this photo. I hope people will pick up the new issue and check it out. The CHD Interiors full page ad. Everything in this photo seems very intentional. And I've always said, if you want your house to look like it could appear in a shelter magazine like ours or another one, this didn't happen by accident. All of those decisions were very intentional, and an interior designer was involved with those decisions. And so, if you want your house to look like $1 million, you know, it's okay to ask for help. You don't want to necessarily. There's only you may have a maybe there you have a girlfriend or two that will go help you pick out paint colors or something, but you start hitting up that person for advice over and over again, you're going to wear out your welcome pretty fast, and you definitely don't want to rely on the different showroom designers that you visit, and you say, what, you know, you're visiting the lighting store and you, what do you think of the color of this cabinet door? They don't know the full picture. They're there to help. Their expertise is the lighting, not everything else that you're hitting them up with for free advice. And that's where the interior designer comes in.
Yeah, that is so true. You know, I always tell people, I think of it as, you know, most people have a general practitioner that knows, you know, if they have a cholesterol problem or they have a knee problem, they know the whole picture. And so they're able to properly make sure that the person's wellness comes together and that they have all of those parts and pieces as they're helping to direct them. Mm-hmm. And I think of doing a custom home that way, because one of the really, you know, by way of example, one really important thing is making sure that you get the scale of things correct. So you might go to one store and get a couple nightstands and then go somewhere else and pick out a chandelier and pick out a bed and then get back home, have it all installed, and realize, well, that chandelier's way too small for these large nightstands and that bed's right way too short for that wall, and now none of it looks like it's the right size in there. And so, to your point, I mean, it really is, you know, easy to think you can go pick all these parts and pieces. And I think a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I know what looks good and I know what matches. And there's so much more to it than that. There's so much more math and things like that you need to know so that your lamps don't look too tall or too short or too big. And while all of that those are examples, and that seems like stuff that's not a big deal, when you're talking about building a house and you are trying to make a space work, you have to take so many different things into account. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I've seen those mistakes made, and candidly, every designer would be lying if they didn't say that we've all made them. I mean, I've picked out lights before that might be too small for a really big mirror, and we just have to eat it and fix it and get the right thing. But if you're not somebody that does that on a daily basis and knows all of those little things you have to think about when you make selections, it's just very easy to make small mistakes that can impact things in a big way.
Yeah, and your comment about it's a common mistake to pick something out that doesn't fit the scale of the room or something. It reminds me of when we were building our house. The interior designer helped us choose some dressers, two dressers, and she said, We're gonna use these as nightstands, and we need to cut the legs off. And I was in shock. I was like, "You're kidding! you wanna make this smaller so it's more of a nightstand? But you're what if it doesn't work? You're permanently damaged. We can't bring these back. And that's a whole nother subject in terms of the trust factor that
it is
there's a
huge element of trusting somebody on that, because, you know, as designers, we have a vision for what we know a completed look will look like. And when you're doing custom sofas, you know, we have sofas on our showroom floor. If you want to come shop in one of our two stores, we have two huge stores. You can come and just buy a sofa. But a lot of people will want, you know, a sofa that's longer than what we have on the floor and in a different fabric, and they might want it a little deeper. And, you know, we have to say, well, this is the sample sofa. Come sit on it. It's going to be in this color. It's going to be a foot longer. And sometimes it's so hard for people to visualize that. But that's when that trust factor does come in, because we do know that, you know, that what we're doing is going to be the right look in the end. And at the end of the day, we want clients happy. If we screw that up, we're going to turn around and fix it, because that the last thing we want is Sally Smith's friend to come over and see that something doesn't look right and be like, well, I'm not going to use CHD Interiors. So we want it right. We want clients happy. And yeah, there's a huge trust factor that I think that people, you know, are sometimes, because we, one of the things that we do that I think separates us, we do buy a lot of antiques and one-of-a-kind pieces in England and France and Belgium. We go abroad once a year, and we will come back, and we've gotten in the habit of doing a lot of really cool one-of-a-kind pieces. Like, we will buy an antique champagne riddling rack, which is what they would hang the antique bottles on in the wall, and it'll be this old beautiful wood, and we'll have that in our warehouse, and we'll say to a client, oh my gosh, let us make you a coffee table out of this. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at us like we have three heads. And we'll sketch it out and draw it up, and our iron worker will build the legs based on the sketches that we've done. And all they have seen is this old piece of wood with holes in it. And they're thinking, oh my gosh, this is just, I can't believe I'm getting ready to, you know, drop a deposit on this. But it turns out that it is the most stunning piece in the room. And it's those kind of touches, you know, like you said earlier, you know, everything's very intentional. Those things are very intentional, and we are very much about, you know, we believe a room is really pretty when it looks like it was an acquired space, and it looks like, you know, not everything's matching. You don't have a bedroom set that all matches, but it looks like it was kind of put together in an acquired way. It's not just something that you've taken out of a Pottery Barn ad and plopped into your room. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what can make a space so special, if you give a CHD the opportunity to give you those kinds of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're almost out of time, but I did want to ask you about the CHD Interiors. You folks have two retail stores. I know of the one on Coleman Boulevard, West Coleman Boulevard in Mount Pleasant. Where is the other retail shop for CHD Interiors, and what can people find there?
Yes. So our home base is actually in Merle's Inlet, South Carolina, which is a little south of Myrtle Beach. And that's actually where our home operation is and all of our back end people work. But we have lighting, art, soft goods like upholstery. We have dressers, antiques. We have a huge fabric workroom, or a few huge fabric room, tile room, stuff where you can look at those custom things, but you can also come in and buy a candle or a picture frame. So we really have everything. And I think that, you know, a lot of people come into our store and they see that we have you know, pretty vignettes put together, and they can buy any one thing from that vignette. And sometimes they might see that vignette and say, wow, I want this to be my whole house. And then the next thing you know, they've bought a candle and we're doing their house. So we have it all, and we love what we do.
Well, I urge our listeners to allow yourself to get out of your comfort zone and I definitely urge you, if you have a project, to work with an interior designer, and the folks at CHD Interiors can definitely help you with that. And how can folks get in touch with CHD Interiors?
You can either give us a call. Our phone number is 843-357-1700, and we have 8 designers on staff and about 25 or 30 back-end people that help make all the magic happen. And if you just reach out to us that way, we can point you in the right direction.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Megan Sandifer with CHD Interiors, and you can always find CHD Interiors within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Megan.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate your time.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and now we're talking with Dave Rogers with Windsor One. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Good, thanks. Dave, take a moment and tell everyone about Windsor One.
Yeah, absolutely. So Windsor One is, we are a manufacturer of the premium grade line of interior and exterior trim boards and historically accurate moldings. Our product was created out of a change in the industry resources. Windsor Mill was actually founded in 1972, and they created a niche for themselves by being the premium stop for millwork. If you needed it done right, you went to Windsor Mill. And, I'd say about 25, 30 years ago, the resources of modern wood changed, and we went from cutting down old growth and second growth lumber to really focusing on plantation grown lumber. And that emerged this commodity category of prime finger joint pine, which really was exactly that. It's a commodity focused on price. And these guys at Windsor Mill, including the founder, Ray Flynn, said, you know what, we can do that better. And they set out to make a premium grade product out of plantation grown pine. And that's what we've done. So it's all primed. It's all finger joint and edge glued. So it's perfectly straight. We've got incredibly tight tolerances. So every foot's usable, and it's just a dream to work with. So that's about as quickly as I could wrap it up, I think.
Okay. Well, so for Windsor One, what kinds of where within the home can Windsor One help a homeowner?
So Windsor is a great solution for inside and outside. So in your traditional uses inside, you know, you've got your base baseboards, your casings, some nice built up headers. Window trim, crown molding, wainscoting, ceilings, coffered ceilings, all those things. We've got some great tongue and groove products that people just absolutely love to work with because it's 16 feet of perfectly straight tongue and groove, and it's one guy cutting, one guy installing. And then on the outside, we don't do siding, unfortunately. We are hoping to get there in the same level of quality and consistency that we have the trim. But your fascia boards, rake boards, door and window trim, corner boards, belly bands, and soffits, Windsor One's excellent for those applications outdoors. And that is because we treat the product with a 30-year warranty with a true core process. It has 5 different insecticides and fungicides. And we've been doing that. We've been treating the product for 18 years with 0 claims against insects, rot, or mold. So it is a durable and sustainable product for the exterior. But because of that true core process and the water-based nature of it, it's totally safe to use inside as well. So you can use the same profiles for your soffits as you can in your kitchen ceiling and just have the same look come throughout the house. So it's really, really nice product in that way.
Okay, good deal. And It sounds like you've mentioned the term premium product to describe the Windsor One materials that you folks offer. And is it sort of like I've interviewed some plumbing fixture companies before that will say the plumbing fixtures you buy at our showroom are different from the ones that are sold in a big box store. And you're not going to get the same quality. Yes, it's a cheaper price at the big box store, but you get what you pay for. You know, at some point it's going to need to be replaced, and now you've got to have the cost of getting the plumber out there to replace it. So that's the advantage of buying a higher quality plumbing fixture. Is that the same sort of thing that goes along with the Windsor One materials?
I would say it's very similar. You know, in the big box situation, what those companies do when they work with a manufacturer is in their contract, they reserve the right to come in and create efficiencies. And that might be replacing stainless steel and galvanized parts for zinc plated parts or something like that. And so very similarly to that, in this category of prime finger joint pine, how everyone else is doing it, they are pushing a contract to go from process to process. So they buy their fiber on the open market and they negotiate the best price they can. They send it to a log mill and a kiln to get it dried, and they're negotiating a price. They get the defects taken out. Every step along the way, they can raise their tolerances, raise their volume. They can lower their standards to get a better price and then deliver a lower price finished product to the market. The best example I could give to you is this. If you go to a lumberyard and you measure the thickness of their prime trim boards or really any boards, it's a 1x, and we all know that a 1x is 3/4 inch. Well, we are going to be the only prime trim board that is actually a 3/4 inch. Everyone else is going to be 23/32, 21/32, or even less. And that is very simply because they can get a higher yield out of those logs and produce more product. And they don't think you care. They don't think you have the standards to care. So we stay true to the 3/4 inch because it matters. It's architecturally correct. It's going to create better shadow lines. It's going to create a more stable look and support the architectural design of the home and building that you're working on.
Gotcha. And the materials that Windsor One provides, are they all made from wood, or is there any composite materials?
We do all wood, and the big difference between us and everyone else is we are going to control that process that I just mentioned. So we own the fiber rights to a plantation down in Chile, and we're planting more trees every year than we cut down, so totally sustainable and certified. And we control that process from planting that tree to putting paint on the board. So everything we do is radiata pine, which is actually harder than poplar on the Jenka scale. So you're going to have the crisp, clean edges you want with that nice premium finish. We select the best grade of the tree. So we use all lateral lumber. We are the only ones making that distinction and not using kind of pith center wood. We actually sell that part of the tree to our competition and overseas. We are orientating all the wood to face the same direction so that the bark side of the tree is faced towards the graded side of the board. That's going to create a more consistent finish on the product. And, you know, if any carpenters are out there listening and you ever had a piece of poplar or anything else that, you know, you've got a smooth finish and then all of a sudden you have a fuzzy section, well, that's because you've got the opposite side of that small piece facing the graded face. So you've got an inconsistency there. But everything that we do is focused on creating the same level of quality and consistency. So if you bought a board from us 10 years ago and you buy one today, you're getting the same exact board. And we're not cheaping the process or skipping any steps to save a dollar. That's not the business that we're in.
Well, trim carpenters are kind of at the top of the food chain in terms of their skill level, compared to, say, a deck builder, for example, or someone who builds fences. And I imagine there's a lot of custom builders and architects that also can see the difference in the quality. In your experience, what have some of these custom builders or architects or trim carpenters, what do they like most about the Windsor One interior and exterior products?
So, you know, what we always talk about is that that skill level that you just discussed. Our product is not going to make someone look good. It's going to show off the craftsmanship of the individual. I'll share with you actually the reason that I work here. My father was a carpenter and general contractor all growing up, mostly doing large remodels on residential. And I worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car before Windsor One. And I got kind of sick of that. And I called him up and I said, I'd really like to get back involved in the construction industry and building homes. And he said, you got to go work for Windsor One. He said, it's the best project I've ever worked with. And the story that he told me is, I spend my entire day taking products and trying to make them look good for my clients. And when I buy Windsor One, it makes me look good instead. I can have my new guy install it. I can install it faster myself. It doesn't matter. If I'm using Windsor One, it's doing the job. So to simplify, that's what I'd say. And I get carpenters and contractors tell me all the time, I love using Windsor One because then I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to make sure that I'm doing that job correctly. The product is so nice and clean to work with that I can have a new guy do it, or I can have somebody, you know, a journeyman that I'm training up. I don't have to have my hands on every element of the product because I know that I brought bought the right product for it.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense. It's like a chef using fresh farm to table ingredients or something like that versus some, you know, processed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's the best way to for folks to get more information about Windsor One?
So the best way is to reach out to us directly. Check out our website, windsorone.com. It's very user-friendly. We're making some improvements just as far as the interface so that when you see something you like, we can kind of get you directly connected to where you can purchase it. So I would say number one best is just to reach out to us. We've got a really helpful inside team in Petaluma, California that can answer questions from design to installation and all that stuff. If you go to a local lumberyard or millwork shop looking for Windsor One and they aren't aware of it, just turn them our way in that area that you're calling from. We do have distribution in the area that carries just about everything that we have. So even if the folks that you're talking to aren't aware of the product just yet, because that is a newer market for us, there is access to it. So get us involved and we will help you get the products that you need.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Dave Rogers with Windsor One. And oh, I wanted to just mention, can you visit the Charleston Design Center in Mount Pleasant and talk to those folks about purchasing Windsor One products, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we've got, I believe we are, I'm not sure if it's completed yet, but we are building a nice display there as well, so you can get some eyes on it.
So if you want to see and feel it for yourself, you can visit Charleston Design Center in Upper Mount Pleasant to check out the materials provided by Windsor One. We've been talking with Dave Rogers with Windsor One. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you. Have a great one.
All right.
You've been listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.